Sometimes you work hard, you come home at the end of the day, you get undressed for bed and you go, I feel so tired, I feel so bad. Sometimes you get come home at the end of a day and you get undressed and you feel rejuvenated and energized because you look in the mirror and remember, you're wearing Mack Weldon underwear, baby. And that is better underwear than whatever you're currently wearing. I wear it all the time. It makes me feel confident. Not only does it look and feel great, all Mack Weldon products are crafted with natural fibers that have built-in performance capabilities, so they work hard too. Go to MackWeldon.com. Get 20% off your purchase using the promo code BEAUTIFUL. MackWeldon.com. Promo code is BEAUTIFUL. You ever seen a movie so bad you can't even believe they created it? Paul Scheer, June Diane Raphael, and Jason Manzoukas have seen a few, and they're talking about them on their Earwolf podcast, How Did This Get Made? Each episode, they sit down with celebrity guests, dive into a movie that's so horrible, it's amazing. I have done the show. It should be coming out soon, and I can tell you it's one of the most fun shows there is, and they're not messing around. If you're a fan of mine, you might know Paul and Jason were the guests on the Chris Gethard Show dumpster episode, and they're two of the funniest people you'll ever meet in your life. June is so hilarious in her own right, and it's such a good vibe. Past guests, Abby Jacobson, Alana Glazer, Adam Scott, Scott Aukerman, Kumail Nanjiani, plus so many guests coming up, including myself, and I want to make sure you're subscribed. Listen and subscribe to How Did This Get Made on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. Hello to all my disgruntled rabbits. It's Beautiful Anonymous. 1 hour, one phone call, no names, no holds barred.
I'd rather go one-on-one. I think it'll be more fun. And I'll get to know you and you'll get to know me.
Hello, everybody. Chris Gethard here welcoming you to another episode of Beautiful Anonymous. Show where, people get on the line and they say stuff and then you get to listen to the stuff and not even feel bad because they're saying it themselves. Welcome to the show. Hope you guys are enjoying. I also want to say thanks to everybody who's been supporting the Chris Gethard Show. It's been on the air, and thank you to all the Beautiful Anonymous fans who are finding my other work, A Strange Little Talk Show. It means a lot. All the support you can give it helps so much, and thank you guys. Such a big, big way. Last week's episode of Beautiful Anonymous was, of course, the guy who he said he needed more freedom in his life, and he felt like maybe one of his coworkers was giving him a little more positive feedback than his wife. Not surprisingly, the Beautiful Anonymous, the community on Facebook, not thrilled. A lot of people felt like this guy needed to maybe be a little more honest about what he was going for. And but you know what? I really love that Facebook group, and everybody was. Despite the fact that many people were like, whoa, this went there, people were generally very respectful. And it was cool to see. Good community over there. People liked that call, but I think we're very concerned. This week's call, I enjoyed it. This was just a pleasant chat. I like them when it's just a pleasant chat sometimes. And don't get me wrong, this lady's going through some life changes, got some stresses, some family stuff on the way, some things to think about. Hope that all works out. Also, her pets don't like me, which is weird, but overall, it's a fun call. Got to make a lot of jokes about growing up Catholic, as anyone who grew up Catholic always is willing to do, and most of all, just enjoyed a nice talk with a cool caller. I think you'll enjoy it.
Thank you for calling Beautiful Anonymous. A beeping noise will indicate when you are on the show with the host.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, is this Chris?
It is. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, boy. Well, I always like to answer honestly, and I'll tell you, I'm not in the best mood I've ever been in, but I'll be fine.
Oh, no. What's going on?
Well, hey, it's not about me. It's about you. I'm dealing with real life stuff, and it's also about a million degrees in New York City, and it is what it is. It's fine. It's not about me. I'll bounce back. It's okay. How are you?
I'm okay. It's also really humid and nasty where I am. I'm not on the East Coast, but it's still pretty gross. I'm kind of in the Midwestern area.
I'll tell you something. If you ever visit New York City, there's two weeks where it's actually nice in New York City when it starts to get warm. And then all of a sudden you feel like you're walking through a swamp with 6 million other human beings. It's okay.
Wow.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. So I'll have to figure out that, like, perfect time frame to to come and visit, which I've always wanted to do, but
you never been.
You know, put it on the bucket list.
Oh yeah.
No, I've never been. I went on my first major vacation within the last couple of months. I went to LA. It was fantastic. I got engaged there.
Ooh, congrats.
I loved it. And I've always heard from people, you know, that it's dirty and gross, which, you know, obviously it has its dirty and gross parts, but, you know, most major cities kind of do. So it wasn't bad. I loved it. And it's just like the kind of feel that you get in the air when you're there. Like, oh my gosh, I'm in this really historical place and magic is made here. It's just so cool to be there.
Wow. A ringing endorsement for Los Angeles. Well done. Well done, City
yeah,
of Los Angeles.
Hire me for this. Yeah. So, wow. Sorry, my whole body is shaking. I'm so anxious right now. I had no idea I was going to get through. So this is a total shock to me.
Well, let's just take a deep breath, and we'll continue once your body stops shaking. There's no need.
Yeah.
I think I'm a pretty nice guy at the end of the day. So you're good to go.
Yeah, no, I can tell.
The worst that happens is this is a complete disaster for both of us, and then no one even knows your name. It's fine.
Right, okay. So we're both on the same page, which is good. So yeah, I've been listening to the show for a really long time, a little over a year now. I originally discovered you through This American Life, which I'm sure is true for most people. I work remotely, so it's really isolating. So I kind of fell in love with podcasts and passing the time that way and listening to people and having voices around me by using that method, because otherwise it's just super quiet, super boring in my house. I'm a longtime admirer of the podcast, you know, not the fangirl, but I recently watched Career Suicide and fell in love with that. You were amazing.
Thank you. I love this call.
Just wanted to get that out there.
I love this call. It's just you telling me how great all my work is. I love it. Love it. Thank you. Yeah.
Right.
So is there anything else you want to talk about or should we just go? Or?
No, I had to get that out there. If I didn't, I would probably be kicking myself.
Very nice. Thank you.
Yeah. So I guess what's kind of going on in my life right now, like I said, recently engaged. That was almost exactly 2 months ago. And my now fiance, he is extremely Catholic and I'm Christian, but I wasn't really raised in, one denomination or the other. When I was growing up, you know, my parents kind of, they didn't shelter me from it intentionally, but it just wasn't really important to them to take me or my siblings to church. And, fast forward to now, I'm surrounded by this super Catholic family and they're all of a sudden they're like, oh, you know, you've got the ring on your finger. You're going to get married in a Catholic church and everybody's going to be there. Right. And I'm sitting there saying, well, that's not really what I thought it was going to be like, but you know, I'm trying to be respectful of that and, talk with them through that. So last night, actually, we met with a Catholic priest, which is the first time in my entire life that I've spoken with a Catholic priest. He was really, really nice. But also really uncomfortable, you know, because they're asking the hard questions of, you know, what do you dislike about Catholicism? And you're sitting across the table from this priest and you're like, oh my God,
high pressure
situation.
How honest did you get on that answer? You're like, well, I just watched The Keepers on Netflix, so I'm a little riled up right now. I just watched that.
No, I didn't get that honest. And I'm not like a total hater of Catholicism. Don't get me wrong.
You're talking to a Catholic, right? Just so you know, you're talking to an Irish Catholic. You're talking to a filthy papist. You're talking to one of these filthy papists right here. It's interesting because when you say you're Christian, it's funny because here's my view. I don't know, but it's my view from the inside of Catholicism. So it seems like Catholics are kind of, you know, there's tons of lapsed Catholics, less intense. But it sounds like you were raised sort of like doesn't sound like you were raised with a very intense, you're not talking like born again Christianity or something that's very,
no,
very dedicated and very much a day to day aspect of your life. You were casually Christian growing up.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Never baptized, nothing like that. I actually didn't even know about God or Jesus until I was probably 7 or 8. You know, my mom sat me down to explain the concept of Easter to me because I didn't understand anything besides the Easter bunny, you know. And so I, you know, up until I was a, a pretty old child, I guess I would say, like first grade, you know, that was kind of when I really figured out what it really meant. And I went to church with a family friend, you know, and when I was a kid, and I loved it. And I don't know if you're familiar, but I did like the whole Awana program and I really enjoyed it. So I had some experience going to church. But my family, very shortly after that period of time, moved to a different state. And once we finally got settled in, you know, as a kid, I'm saying, all right, we're here. I kind of want to go to church. And, you know, my dad was really into the idea, wanted to make it happen for me. My mom, not so much. You know, she was at this point in her life where she was working on Sundays every single week, like 12-hour shifts, very hard manual labor. And so she kind of, her feelings were hurt that we wanted to go to church and basically she couldn't go. Wow. And she was kind of in this mental state where we didn't really want to poke the bear and we didn't really want to agitate her in any way. So,
I just want you to know,
if
I may, let's just take a breath because you just gave me like more information in 45 seconds than anyone in the history of this show. You just went hard. You just backed the truck up, dumped it all out on me.
Yeah.
Hard work.
Yeah, mom, it did. Well, it's so evident. It's like, yeah, it's just so apparent in my daily life now because I'm going through the thick of this wedding planning where, you know, I feel like I'm talking about it every day. So
it's pretty much
in the front of my mind.
I've been there. Dominates yeah. your life.
Yeah. And it's hard to get anything else done aside from, you know, having these conversations and trying to make the money work. And
oh, good luck. Oh, boy. Yeah. To my wedding. We held that thing together with scotch tape and bubble gum.
Yeah.
But it was great.
Yeah, it's crazy. So we booked our reception venue, so that was
nice. Good.
Now,
when you say he's very Catholic, what does that mean? Is it like, does everyone in his family have like a dozen kids and... Is he constantly...
Not a dozen, okay. No. But it's when I say very Catholic, I mean, he was raised Catholic. He was an altar boy, same with his brothers. And it was very much ingrained in their daily life. And I've met other Catholics where, you know, they're the Sunday Catholics or the Easter Sunday Catholic, so they go on Christmas, but they don't really go every single weekend. And whereas, you know, their family, they're very much, you know, no, we go every weekend, and it's who we are as human beings, and it's not just something that we do on the weekends. It's bringing the idea of religion into almost every conversation and making it a conversation around God. And so I guess that's what I mean when I say very Catholic.
yeah,
because
that's
some of the other
Catholic.
Catholics that I know. Yeah, I mean, like when I was growing up, I knew a lot of Catholics, and they weren't really as, I don't know, like involved in the
confession?
Whole lifestyle that his family is.
Did you do confession all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I did confession once in my life. You do confession. The first time you do confession, I think it's around like second, third grade. I did. I went to public school. Most of the kids in my neighborhood went to Catholic school, Our Lady of Lourdes, West Orange, New Jersey. Both my parents went there, met there. My grandmother was a teacher at the Catholic school. Everybody went there. My parents met there, like I said. What do you mean? So I can give you the inside track on Catholicism. I did confession once, though. I went to the public school. So I did Sunday school all my life up through like eighth, ninth grade. Confession was the first one where I was like, yeah, I'm out. Like, I don't want to go in a box with a man. Like, I don't get what this is about, but I think I'll keep my secrets. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. As a third grader, I felt like that. But I went through the whole confirmation process and everything. So whenever you want, I got the inside track.
That's good to know. I'll have to like send you an email in a couple weeks when we're like, we're really hashing it out and trying to figure out where we're actually going to have our wedding ceremony. I'll consult Chris Gethard on that.
Please. Now, do you go to church with them very often? You may have said this.
No, I don't. I've gone occasionally and they try not to give away my location here, but in the general area, there's a very well-known church where they're members of. And so I've gone with them to that. church just because I was in the area as well with them, and it's important to them. So, and you know, I'm very respectful of that. And so, yeah, I'd say I probably have been with them 5 times, you know, give or take. And
when they all get up to take the bread, do you just stay there and they're all like,
yeah,
and they give you a side eye?
I stay there and it's awkward.
Yeah. Are they hoping you convert? Are they hoping you become a Catholic?
Yeah, you know, I think in the back of their minds that they are hoping that, but I'm a pretty outspoken and opinionated person, so whenever that kind of comes out of their mouth, I say politely, yeah, well, that's just, you know, that's not really what's in the cards for me right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really, I don't really see that happening anytime soon, and I, you know, I can see the look on their faces kind of change a little bit. And
technically, that means your kids aren't Catholic, right? It goes through the mother with Catholicism.
Actually, what I learned last night when I talked to the priest is that it goes through the father. Basically, my fiance would have to agree that he would do whatever he can to raise our children, you know, in the Catholic faith. And I'm okay with that. I'm not vehemently opposed to Catholicism. I don't have some sort of huge vendetta against it. I guess one of my other concerns about Catholicism is not with the religion itself. It's with the people that I've met and some of the hurtful things that I've heard them say. And so after meeting my fiance, you know, he's kind of explained to me throughout the years, you know, yeah, these problems that you have, they're legitimate issues, but they're problems with the people, not the religion. So, and that's a completely valid point, you know, but
it's a very,
you know, it's the 2010 time, like, and all of everyone saying hurtful things about, you know, the gay population. And I really didn't like that going on, but
of course
now in 2017, like, things are so different.
It's weird. It's like, I feel like it's such a layered religion. It's complicated to be born into it. I'm certainly not a very devout Catholic. Oddly, it's odd you're calling now, because I recently started going to church every now and then again. I don't know why, just out of nowhere. I've been going, not devout, but it's very interesting you're calling. And it's weird because it's like, I feel like it brings communities together so well. I feel like the large majority of the people you meet in a Catholic church are people looking to help other people, looking to be a part of a community. That's really nice. I like that, like, when you go to church, you'll see some people show up and they dress up in their Sunday best. Then you'll see some people who show up as they are, and you realize, like, oh, it does accommodate. You know, it's a religion that I think a lot of, a lot of people who don't have much go, and it's a thing that brings them into a community, brings people together. It's like, I really like the Virgin Mary aspect of it, that she's so front and center. I feel like I almost kind of enjoy, I think there's a part of me going to church that's kind of like, it's a weirdly like feminist thing in that sense. But then also it's like a, you know, you'll go and there'll be priests that actively say, like, let's shut down Planned Parenthood. So that's not very feminist at all. It's a very weird thing. And then, like you said, these opinions on the gay community that are just so outdated. And so the idea that women can't be active participants, being priests and whatnot, very strange. I don't know. It's layered. But the community side of it is really beautiful. And I don't know. And then, of course, there's all those issues about what's it really going to take to get some of these priests to... Nah, you know what I mean? I just read a thing about a German choir that I think was a Catholic choir, where everybody, these kids, it's like, what is this? For 1,000 years, kids are getting abused. So it's a very layered thing. It's a very layered thing. It's conflicted feelings about it.
No, I totally agree. And I did have a situation when I was younger. I went to a Catholic church for, I think it was like a baptism or something like that. It's been so long, I kind of forgot, but it was the Obama era. And we had finished the baptism and we were kind of just talking about like community news and whatever. And the priest says to everybody, okay, everybody, thank you so much for coming. be sure to vote no to the Affordable Health Care Act.
Oh, God.
And it was the most bizarre thing I've ever heard.
Much?
And I think that was really the moment where I was like, oh, my gosh, what's going on here? Do I really want to be a part of that?
It's also,
but I also know that not every kid is like that.
And I also feel like, I don't know, that it's weird. Like, the abortion stuff has always been an issue, and the feelings towards the gay community. But I feel like stuff like that, like the active... When I was a kid, you didn't hear like active political diatribes in a Catholic church. You didn't hear, and generally a very democratic background. Like, this is in the church I grew up in. I mean, and again, this is two blocks from my house. My parents met there. There was a stained glass window of John F. Kennedy. He's Catholic president. You know what I mean? That was like a huge thing for the Catholic community. Stained glass window of him. These were Democrats. I was shocked when I started going back a couple months ago, and I heard there's like, for anybody who's never been to a Catholic ceremony, there's the part. It's one of the highlights to me. It's fun. It's like the Lord hear our prayer part. That's one of the highlights. And that's when the priest will just say a series of things, or someone on behalf of the priest say a series of things. And after each one of them, you go, Lord, hear our prayer. And generally it'll be like, you know, this member of the community is sick. We feel like God's going to make sure they get through this healthy. We're reaching out on behalf of both the person and their family. Lord, hear our prayer. And then it'll be like, you know, and we want to make sure that in these trying times, blah, 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 da, 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 Lord, hear our prayer. And then it'll be like, and let's remember that marriage is between a man and a woman. We have to protect the sanctity of families. And then that one, I just tap out. I'm like, I'm not saying, Lord, hear our prayer. That Lord, hear our prayer is a pretty cool thing. I'm not saying, Lord, hear our prayer. But then here's a weird thing, too. So much of the Catholic population is Hispanic, at least in the New York area, that they did a back-to-back. I went to a service. They did back-to-back. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Let's protect the sanctity of it. And then the next one, in a world where there's so many people attacking the immigrant communities, we want to protect our foreign brothers and sisters and their place here in our community. Lord, hear our prayers. Like, you don't get to back to back that. You don't get to say one ultra conservative thing, one ultra liberal thing. Now you're just playing to the crowd. You're getting that cheap heat because you know everybody out here is not conservative on that one. Have it both ways.
Yeah, that whole thing is just so bizarre to me. So, and
it is.
Trying not to give a lot away here, but the particular church that they're a part of, it's Roman Catholicism. It's one of the original forms of Catholicism. So they try to eliminate kind of that dialogue that you and I just mentioned that we don't like, and you know, so they try and stay away from that because they say that has nothing to do with actual Catholicism. My opinion is irrelevant.
Right.
That whole thing. So I really respect that. So I'm kind of coming to accept that, okay, you know, maybe this isn't as bad as I thought it was. And as long as I know who I am and what I like and what I don't like and my values, I think I'm definitely fine with it. It's not really a source of frustration between my fiance and I. We hardly ever talk about it.
Take a deep breath.
That's a good thing.
I will say, just before we move on, I do want to say though, I said, Lord, hear our prayers. One of the highlights, everybody knows the real highlight is peace be with you. I'm into the peace be with you part. That's where you turn, right? That's the good part. Where everybody in the pews, you turn to the people all around you, you shake their head, you go, peace be with you. And then the people on your left and right, you probably came with them, so you're like, yeah, peace be with you. And then the person in front of you turns around, and it's some person you never met before. And to have someone look you in the eye and just go, hey, peace be with you, goes further than you think. I mean, that's a good thing. You're shaking somebody's hand.
I agree.
You don't know them, but we're all in it together. Take your face out of your phone, look somebody else in the eye, say something nice to them. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
Go ahead and pause there. Anybody with a Catholic background, I think, is agreeing with me on this whole peace be with you thing. I don't know if other ceremonies include that. I've never thought about this in my life. That's my own ignorance. Anyway, I'm going to go ponder that, and maybe you guys will as well. And maybe you'll also ponder these products and services that our fine sponsors have to offer. We'll be back right after this with more phone call. Studying for standardized tests can be really stressful. The ACT, the SAT, they have a huge impact on where you go to college, the scholarships you get. The GRE, GMAT, LSAT, and MCAT count a lot for grad school. No matter where you are in your studies, it's important to get a great score. Fortunately, Magoosh Online Test Prep helps you get to test day feeling confident and prepared without breaking the bank. Just go to Magoosh.com. Audacity.com to access hundreds of practice questions, study schedules, and video lessons that let you study anywhere on any device. Even get access to their expert tutor team if you need extra help. Plus, if you're retaking a test, Magoosh offers a score improvement guarantee. If you don't improve, you get your money back because Magoosh wants you to succeed. Here's what some of their students say. Magoosh provides great explanations and examples that really stuck in my head, even though I only crammed for 3 weeks. Highly recommend it. Magoosh was the only study material I used and clearly the only study material I needed. The organization was superb and the practice questions were spot on. Visit Magoosh.com and enter promo code BEAUTIFUL for a 20% off discount. That's Magoosh, M-A-G-O-O-S-H.com, promo code BEAUTIFUL. We all need to take a little bit better care of ourselves, and mental health is no exception. That's why today's sponsor, Talkspace, the online therapy company, makes it easy to connect with an experienced, licensed therapist that you pick based on your preferences for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy. You can send your therapist text, audio, video messages. You can even do a live video chat. Talkspace therapists are fully licensed and go through a rigorous screening process in addition to thousands of hours of supervised professional training. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/beautiful. And as a special offer for our listeners, you can use coupon code BEAUTIFUL to get $30 off your first month. Show your support for this podcast. That's coupon code BEAUTIFUL at Talkspace.com/beautiful. Talkspace, therapy for how we live today. Thank you so much to everybody who helps us bring this show to you for free. Please do check them out. Use those promo codes. Helps the show. And now let's get back to the phone call. You don't know them, but we're all in it together. Take your face out of your phone, look somebody else in the eyes, say something nice to them. It's not that hard.
Yeah. Yeah, and so often we just kind of ignore the people that are around us. And,
yeah.
And we don't really realize like what everybody's going through in their lives and kind of think that whatever we've got going on, that's what's the most important. So yeah. Then when you turn to your left or right and you say peace be with you to somebody and they're walking a totally different lifestyle, you know, that's something that I think most people could probably agree with.
For sure. For sure. I feel
are
like.
Are you calming down?
And I feel like here's the thing, because Mass is also it's pretty boring. All Catholics who grow up know this. This is why in my neighborhood, you always tried to go to the Mass that Father Quinlan was the priest on, because he would get through it in like 15 minutes, 20 minutes tops. Father Marchand, Father Hansen, they really milked it, took their time. Father Quinlan. I'm sure all these people are dead by now because these are people who were around 30 years ago. Father Quinlan, 15-minute mass. But I feel like it's funny because it's like there are these little highlights like that, the peace be with you. It's like a Catholic mass is like a Tom Petty concert. Peace be with you is Free Fallen. Lord, hear our prayer. That's American Girl. And then the rest of it, you're just waiting for the hits, you know?
I love that.
Now tell me about this wedding. When's it going down?
So it's going down next year, September 1st.
And you're already stressing.
Labor Day weekend.
Stressing a year out.
What's that?
You're already stressing hard about it a year out. More than a year out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, a lot of it's money and coming up with that. And also within the last 6 months-ish, both of my parents have had some pretty serious health concerns. So in October of last year, my mom was having some heartburn, and everybody was saying, "Hey, Mom, you know, why don't you go to the doctor and check this out? You know, you're in your late 50s. Sometimes heartburn can be something else." And she said, no. I'll just, you know, I'll cut out the coffee. I'll eat better." And of course, she did all of those things, and it didn't go away. So finally, probably after about a month or maybe even 2 months after having those problems, she went and they said, "Oh my gosh, your blood pressure is the highest I've ever seen on somebody who isn't about to die. We need to get you to the hospital now."
Wow.
So they took her. It's actually across the street. So that was good. You know, got her hooked up and did some scans, did some like, you know, exploratory tests and procedures on her and said, "Oh my gosh, you've got two major arteries in your heart blocked." So within the next couple of days, it was actually on Halloween Day, she went to go have open heart surgery. And so that was really hard on my family and my dad as well, because he's a fantastic guy. He stood by her side and helped her throughout the whole thing, and her recovery was not so great. But fast forward to now, to actually 2 days after I got engaged, I get a phone call from my mom, who is now healthier, and she says, "Hey, where are you? I know you just got home from your vacation to L.A. And I say, "You know, I'm home now. We were just about to head out to the grocery store. What's going on?" She says, "Well, your dad was at jury duty and he collapsed." And So 911 was called, and and that's all I know. You know, that I just know that he's at the hospital and I need you to come there. So of course I stopped what I was doing. My fiance and I, you know, drove all the way out there. It was about an hour. And got there, and we walked in the room, and, you know, we were preparing for the worst. You know, at this point, we'd been engaged for a day, 2 days, and, you know, I'm saying to my fiance, you know, if he's in really bad shape, I need you to, like, are we going to get married there? You know, I want him to be there, and having those really hard conversations. And we walk in the door, and he's like, "Hey, what's going on?" Big smile on his face. You know, he looked like my normal dad, and like, "You tell me what's going on. I heard you collapsed at jury duty," you know, and like, yeah. So this is what happened. I was sitting in my chair waiting for them to call me up. And, you know, so I took out my phone and I was checking my email, and, you know, the next thing I know, I've got two police officers on top of me and a paramedic, and they're trying to calm me down, and I don't know what happened. So I'm freaking out, and I'm like kind of being a little bit combative because I have no memory of what had just happened. And, you know, he's telling us the story. And as he's telling us the story, the doctor walked in the room and said, "You know, I have a little bit more information. I spoke with the paramedics that were there. There happened to be two off-duty nurses in the same room with you. They also had jury duty the same day. And one of them had walked by you and saw that you just gently close your eyes, you know, lean your head up against the wall that was behind you. And, you know, initially thought maybe he's asleep, waited, you know, 30 seconds, maybe a minute, and some sort of, you know, gut intuition told him, no, you know, I don't think that guy is asleep." And so he ran over, checked my dad's pulse. It wasn't there. Up comes this other off-duty nurse, and she starts giving him CPR, and the original paramedic, the off-duty nurse who found him, went to go grab the defibrillator that was in the courthouse and shocked him, and thank God brought him back.
So his heart had stopped.
Had stopped completely. My dad, he didn't feel, like, up until that point, he didn't feel any pain. He didn't feel any lightheadedness. It was a normal day, and his heart just stopped.
I was hoping I was hoping the story was going to go that you walked into the hospital room, and he was like, "Hi." And then you were like, and he's like, "What's going on?" And you're like, "I heard you passed out at the courthouse." And then he just grinned and went, "Yeah, but I got out of jury duty," and gave you a high five. That's how I was hoping this would end.
Well, we did definitely take that mindset, you know. That's the best way to get out of jury duty, I guess.
Have your heart stop and collapse against a wall. That'll do it.
You to come back.
No, they don't want to deal with that. So did they find out what happened?
So basically, you know, he's had high blood pressure as well for years, and some other, you know, blood pressure related issues. So they think it was just kind of this perfect storm of, you know, he had walked less than a half mile, you know, from his car to the courthouse when he parked. But it was still, you know, light to moderate exercise for somebody of his age. He just turned 60, and he doesn't have the best health in the world. So maybe he was a little bit worked up, you know, his heart was working a little bit harder than it normally does. Yeah, and he went to go sit down, and, you know, for one reason or the other, it just stopped. And so when that doctor came in and told us this whole story, he said, "We're going to do the same tests on you that we did on your wife when she had her chest pains, just to see what's going on in your heart. make sure it's okay. We don't know if you passed out at this point. We don't know what happened. So let's just check it out. And of course, they do the test and they say, well, you know, you have 4 arteries blocked in your heart. And unfortunately, you need open heart surgery.
How many arteries are there in a heart?
They go to the exact same hospital. What's that?
How many arteries are there in a heart?
I think there are 5 main ones.
And he had 4 blocked.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was crazy. So then we're going to the hospital, the same hospital that my mom was at, you know, less than 6 months prior, getting my dad set up to have open heart surgery. You know, the second time we're doing this in 6 months, and we're all just emotionally spent, you know, as you can probably imagine. And so I'm sitting in there in that room waiting and thinking, oh my gosh, you know, thank God for those 2 people that happened to have jury duty on the same day. What are the odds, you know, from a Christian standpoint, that wasn't an accident, that wasn't a coincidence, you know, kind of act of God type of situation. And so I reached out on Facebook to a little garage sale group in my area and said, hey, if anyone was in the courthouse this day, this time, and saw this happen and knows who it was that helped them, like, I would really like to say thank you. And somebody comments, hey, that was my mom.
Really?
I was able to get in touch with the mom.
What's a garage sale group?
You don't know?
No. What is a garage sale group on Facebook?
Maybe it's a Midwestern thing. I don't know.
So it's basically
if you just are getting rid of things around the house and you want to sell them, you can toss them to local garage sale groups.
I understand what a garage sale is, but now there's Facebook groups, so you can get in on other people's garage sales. It's like a turning it into like a conglomerate type thing, where it's like, hey, you're having a garage sale, and I got an old set of bowls I want to get rid of. Will you sell my bowls at your garage sale? And then what happens? Do they take a cut because they staged the garage sale?
Well, it's not quite like that. It's more so, I've got this set of bowls. Does anybody want them? I'm charging $5 for them. So you're selling them Facebook, and then you meet up and you exchange.
Oh, so it's not, so it's like an online, it's like a cybernetic garage sale.
Yeah, kind of like Craigslist.
And this worked. You found the person through this, because this doesn't sound like a thing that would have a massive amount of people involved.
Yeah, I think there were maybe 1,500 people in the group. Just crazy that this person says, hey, that was my mom. You know, this is her name. Why don't you reach out to her? So I did. And obviously it was, thank you. I can't believe this happened. Like, I'm so thankful you were there. And she said, you know, it's funny because literally that morning, I was texting my best friend and I was saying, you know, I've been in nursing for X amount of years and I'm just really not feeling fulfilled anymore. Maybe I should go back to school. I don't think it's for me. And her best friend responded with, well, you know, I think that something's going to happen in your life and you're going to realize that you're in the right field. Like, you have the right personality. You love helping people. Just wait for a sign and I think you'll know. And literally within an hour or two of receiving that text message, which she hadn't even read at that point, she was on the ground, like saving my dad's life. So it was just incredible.
Wow.
An incredible story.
Yeah. It's a beautiful story. I'm so glad your dad's okay. Let me say that right away. Let me also just say, I'm still quite flabbergasted at the existence of Facebook-based garage sales. I didn't even...
Yeah,
I had no idea.
Cool.
Flabbergasted. I mean, the biggest thing I'm taking away from that is I am so sincerely happy that your dad is okay. Secondary to that, on Facebook-based garage sale. Who knew?
Maybe it's just a Midwestern thing.
No, I mean, we had garage sales in Jersey growing up. We definitely had them. It didn't occur to me that they would shift. But it makes sense because Facebook is an online community and those are community-driven things. Who knows? Anyway, we're not going to spend the whole time analyzing the merits of online garage sales. I guess, so your parents are sick. You're planning a wedding. I'm sure there's like concerns there. I'm sure you must be having those thoughts of What's the way? What's the you ever said? What's the weirdest thing you ever saw on sale at the online garage sale?
The weirdest thing? Yeah. Oh my gosh!
Because real garage sales get weird.
Well, actually, the most recent thing that I saw was a woman had taken a picture of her, like, you know, 5 or 6 year old daughter, holding in her clenched fist the pet hamster. It said, like, for sale, pet hamster. My daughter loves this thing too much, and unfortunately, we need to get rid of it.
No.
And the daughter's, you know, like, clenching. And the hamster has this terrified look on his face.
No, I hate that story. So someone actively was like, hey, break my daughter's heart. Here's a picture of my daughter loving a thing. Take the thing. Teach my daughter a lesson about real life.
I think it wasn't a very loving photo. I think the girl was a little bit too rough with the hamster, and they were
sure.
Like, all right, we can't do this anymore.
So it was like turning, it was going to be like a Mice and Men situation. Girl was going to love the hamster
exactly.
to death. Wow. Okay. Now look, I get sick parents and planning a wedding. Because it's like you want to be a good family person. You want to help your parents, first of all, dedicate a lot of time to that. You don't necessarily have the time right now. Plus, I'm sure it creates a lot of anxiety about, like, are my parents taking care of themselves? Because I'm a year out from this thing. And if they got, I mean, 4 arteries blocked. Both your parents, arteries blocked. This is serious. There must be a party that's like, guys, take care of yourselves. I got this major life thing coming up. I want you to be there. I want you to be healthy. And I got to worry about that. I got to prioritize that. I don't want to be bitter and resent you guys if you don't take care of yourselves. And I wind up sleeping 2 hours a night because I got to do all these things at once. There must be all those thoughts. But you sound nicer than I am. Maybe the less bitter parts of that.
Well, yeah, it's probably coming out nicer than it feels, you know, like from an emotional standpoint, because for my mom, she's still struggling with making the correct lifestyle choices to support this type of thing that she went through. So, you know, before she was obviously not eating well. Your arteries don't get blocked if you eat a healthy diet. She smoked since she was like basically a preteen. So thank God she stopped smoking, but she, you know, her diet's not really what it should be. And she knows, whereas my dad, on the other hand, is like literally walking 4 miles a day, doing everything that he's supposed to be doing. So I think it's what's hard to witness, see him do everything right and watch her do everything wrong. And you can see the differences in their health and how they look. And yeah, you have that thought every day of, guys, I'm getting married in a little over a year, and I want you both to be there. But
yeah,
and now my you said gosh, them, you know,
before you were saying your mom was a real hardworking lady growing up, huh?
Yeah.
So she lives. She's like she's a smoking, hardworking, tough talking broad, huh? That's what I'm picking up on.
Yeah, no, you're right. When we were kids, she didn't work when we were growing up. She was a stay at home mom, and when we moved, when I was preteen to where I live now, we had a nicer house. My dad's job had changed, so we lived in a nicer area, a nicer house, but she kind of felt the need to not only go back to work for financial reasons, but she didn't have kids to watch anymore. So she got a job at like a distribution center doing like forklift driving and lifting heavy boxes, and she's kind of been doing that type of work ever since. But ever since she had this procedure, she, you know, I would say doing a little bit lighter work. Her coworkers are really nice and understanding that she shouldn't be doing what she was doing. And, you know, but yeah, she's not a big fan of it. You know, I think it takes a toll on her mental health too. She had some pretty severe anxiety when I was growing up, and, passed it on to me and my sisters too. So now we're kind of struggling in our own forms with dealing with this, because we saw how she dealt with it when we were growing up, which wasn't a healthy way to deal with it. And actually recently started going to therapy, so that's helped a lot. And I think I actually reached out to you when you did a Ask Me Anything on Reddit. And I was like, you know, I'm thinking about going to therapy. What's like the biggest piece of advice that you have? And you said, if you find somebody that you don't like, don't just stop going. And that's kind of what I'm going through right now, is I found somebody, she's not terrible, but she's really not helping me all that much. So I'm kind of just thinking, all right, do I need to find somebody else to help me cope with not only these life scenarios that I'm going through, but the day-to-day anxiety as well.
I hope you stick with it. I'm glad I answered the question on those and those AMAs. They get overwhelmed.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, no, that's cool that you're going, and I hope you find somebody that jives with you better.
Yeah, me too.
Does this Catholic guy expect you to have like 9 kids? Let's go ahead and pause right there. The enormity of that question. We'll find out the answer to that gripping question and more when we come back. But in the meantime, we got ads from our sponsors. They help us bring the show to you for free. So use those promo codes. It really helps Beautiful Anonymous when you do, and we'll be right back. Stitcher Premium is entering the musical podcast space with a new 3-part series, Stolen Idea, written by Matt Besser and Bobby Matthews. Stolen Idea is a comedy punk rock musical that covers the theft of intellectual property in both the music and comedy worlds. The story follows a stand-up comedian and a rock musician who are both approaching 40 and are fearful their time to make it is running out. One has his idea stolen, the other steals an idea. Produced and mixed by Earwolf's lead sound engineer, Brett Morris, the 17-song soundtrack features performances by Scott Aukerman, Paul Rush, James Adomian, John Gemmerling, Virginia Matthews, Harris Whittles, Mike Cassidy, Mike Still, and Danielle Schneider. Listen to Stolen Idea on Stitcher Premium. Get 1 month of Stitcher Premium free when you go to stitcherpremium.com/stolen and enter the promo code STORIES. That's stitcherpremium.com/stolen. Offer code STORIES. Thanks again to all of our sponsors. Now let's finish off this phone call. Does this Catholic guy expect you to have like 9 kids?
No, he's pretty reasonable.
So yeah, now
we definitely want kids, but until his
Catholic parents get older and are like, "Why aren't you giving us more grandkids?" People around the block from me, one of my best friends growing up, he had I think 13 brothers and sisters. That's a Catholic family.
Oh my gosh!
Irish last name, 14 kids in that. I don't even know how they all fit in the house. Where did everybody even sleep? This was not a huge house.
I don't know
house.
If my body could do that.
This was just a suburban house on a regular block, lower middle class block. I don't even know where all these people slept.
Wow. I have a close family friend who, she is Muslim, and her now husband, his family has, I think he has 13 siblings, and they live in the city, and they all live in a very small apartment, you know, and they make it work. And I just look at people like that, and I'm totally amazed.
Yeah.
You know, I was stressed out with my 2 sisters when I was growing up, and we had plenty of space. We fought every day, you know.
Yeah, I had one brother, and we used to just punch each other in the face all the time.
Exactly.
Can't imagine having to battle off 12 more of them.
Yeah, that would be way too much for me to handle.
Now, the guest list at your wedding, how many first cousins does your husband have as a Catholic?
Oh, so many.
So many cousins, right? And they're first cousins, so you can't cut them out.
Yeah, it's never ending. I don't know the exact number. We have it all written down, but it's up there for sure. I have a big family too, but not quite as big as he does.
I was going to say, is this a situation where his guest list is like 200 people and you've got like a solid 30, and it's like, hey, do all the cousins have to come? And then it's like, yeah, they have to, or else it's going to be endless drama for years with my various opinionated aunts.
I mean, yeah, you pretty much hit the nail on the head. It's not quite the difference of 230, but he definitely has more people to invite than I do. And yeah, like you said, you can't cut anybody out because they're all so close. And
yeah, are you building
one person out?
Are you building your guest list yet? Are you like already getting together your invite list?
Yeah,
that's a weird thing, isn't it? Isn't that a weird thing?
It is, because you kind of have to make that decision of, oh, this person has a girlfriend, but I think they've only been dating for a couple of weeks, so I don't think that guy will get a +1.
Yeah,
it's a really weird thing.
That's a weird thing about getting married that no one told me about, is you like take an honest evaluation of everyone in your life and how much you want to be friends with them anymore. You're like, I like this person enough, but not enough to get to know someone else in their life. No +1 for you. I had situations where it was like, it gets very political too. this person invited me to their wedding, but in the 5 years since their wedding, we're not as close as we were back then, but you kind of have to invite people who invited you to their wedding. So now you're kind of sitting around hoping that you start hoping people say no, right? You invite people knowing, please let this card come back. No. And then you drop it in the mail and you don't want them there. And you're like, but then there's this other friend, but I only met them 2 years ago, but we hang out. We actually get lunch and stuff. Can I invite my 2 year friend when I'm trying, so you're hoping people say no to free up room. I had situations where I straight up, and I will not name names. I will not even name relationships because it'll be too outing. I had situations where like people from my past where I was like, straight up, I don't want to be friends with you anymore. And just didn't invite them as a way to just straight up say, a person from my past, from many, many years ago, where I was just like, I just don't enjoy, we barely see each other anymore. And when we do, it's very weird and negative and combative. And it's this weird obligation because we were friends during a formative stretch of life, but I've moved on and, I'm going to go ahead and cross this name right off the invite list. And it felt like a weight off my shoulders where I realized this person will never like me again because I did not invite them to my wedding. And I have decided I am okay with that.
Yeah, but it's kind of freeing, you know?
Oh, it is.
Giving yourself the permission to not really care anymore.
So weird. And wait, have you sent out your invites?
Oh, no, not yet.
Because here's
way the thing. Oh,
I'm going to give you a piece of information nobody tells you either, because here's the other thing that happens. Is it goes in that direction too, where you're evaluating everybody. How much do I really want this person? And then their behavior with the replies will redefine more friendships forever. Like there'll be somebody who doesn't.
Right.
There'll be somebody who puts their card in the mail with no plus one, and then calls you 3 weeks later. Hey, can I actually get a plus one? And you're like, I made the seating chart. You fuck. Sorry, Sally, but you'll talk that way. You'll speak that way about people you love in your life. You'll love in your life. There's people who will not get the card back to you. And I had somebody who didn't return the card. And then you're in this situation where you're like, well, it's past the date, the past the RSVP date, but I know this person and they might turn around and be, okay, so I'm going to email them. Hey, are you coming or not? No answer on the email. So I text the person, no response to the text. Are you coming or not? And at that point, I said, you're not in my life ever anymore. And this person has since emailed me.
Yeah.
I didn't answer their email. You can't answer my emails about a major life event. Then I'm not answering your emails about comedy. You email me about comedy. You won't tell me if you're coming to my wedding. You're out. I got enough people in my life. I'm 37 years old. I have enough people in my life. I don't need people in my life. I'm over that hump where I want to just get old and curmudgeonly. The less people, the better moving forward. No new friends. Everybody listening, I'm putting you all on blast. No new friends. I'm trying to remove current friends and move forward. Sorry, I just went on a rant. My bad. But that is something that will happen very much so in your wedding planning.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm fully anticipating that. Mm-hmm. You know what's funny? Every single time I listen to your podcast, I have two rabbits, and they kind of live in my loft area, like kind of close to my office. And every time I play it, they hate the sound of your voice.
They
get really mad.
I get this a lot.
They'll thump their legs.
I get it a lot.
And now, you're on speakerphone in the area, and they're freaking out again. So I think that's really funny.
No, I've been working a lot in my career. You know, initially it was like, you know, I would really want to break in with like the college scene, see if I can get college gigs. And my agents and I, we've had a lot of sit downs about like, how can I break through more in the rabbit community with my work? But my comedy just does not click with rabbits, and I've been dealing with it for years.
You've heard that before.
No, I was kidding.
I was going to say, that is pretty crazy. There might be something going on there. But yeah, I can hear them. They're freaking out of it now.
Wow. Wow. What exactly do the rabbits dislike about my voice? Because I'm with them. I don't like my voice either.
I don't know. No, I don't have a problem with it. But when I first moved to the house that I live in.
Tell me I have a sexy voice. I've heard that before. Anyway, when you moved into the house you live in. I don't agree, by the way. My voice is terrible.
Oh, yeah. No, I was going to say, when I moved into the house that I now live in about a year ago, which is when I first discovered the podcast, I had my desk out in the loft area, which is where they hang out most of the time. And one of them, his name was Parker, he went crazy. He ran face first into the wall. and I had to go over there. Like, oh my gosh, is he okay? And I literally took him to the vet. I'm so concerned.
What? Because of my voice?
Yes. And I was telling the lady at the vet, like, you know, he's never done anything like this before, but I was listening to his podcast, and I don't know if it was the sound of the person's voice or if there's something wrong with him. And the lady was like, it might have just been what you were listening to.
Wow. And the other rabbit doesn't like me either.
No, she's a little bit more relaxed, but no, she's not a fan either.
And what's her name?
Her name is Piper.
Okay. Can you hold the phone up to Piper and Parker? Just tell me when you're
home. Okay, hang on. Yeah.
Tell me when you're...
Let me get closer to them. Just a second. All right. All right. Here's Parker.
Parker, I don't know what your problem with me is, but I want you to know I want to bury the hatchet. I want to settle the beef. Whatever it is about me and my voice you don't like, I get it. But look, we got to coexist in this world. I'm not judging you for being a rabbit, doing what you do, eating carrots, hanging out, laying down on paper shavings. You do your thing, I'll do my thing. I know there's probably not a world in which we're ever going to become friends, but I think at the very least, the contentiousness can stop. This whole situation is a little dramatic, running face first into walls. I'm not trying to bother you. I'm just trying to entertain your human in your life. Just trying to give a little, you know, some empathetic conversations to help this person in your life pass the day. She works from home. So Parker, whatever it is, again, on my end, I'm ready to just walk away and let this feud, this blood feud, let's be honest. I'm ready to let this blood feud be over. It's up to you from this point on, Parker the Rabbit.
You know, I'm telling you the truth. When I put the phone up to him and he started talking to him, he laid down.
Yeah.
He's relaxed now.
We had a lot of things we needed to settle, but I think we finally said what we have to say.
Yeah, I think it worked.
Yeah, I think we finally said what we have to say.
He's pretty relaxed now. He's chilling. He's sprawled out and having a good day now.
Great. And how's Piper doing?
She's doing the same. She's laying down.
Good. Seems like Piper kind of follows Parker's
lead. And you were on
lead.
Speaker, so maybe she... Oh, Parker just got mad again.
Parker? Parker! Parker! We just talked. These wildly swinging emotions have to stop, okay? I get it. You're a rabbit. You come from a frenetic breed of animal, a notoriously fidgety breed of animal, but these mood swings, and I've been there. Everybody knows I've been there. Watch Career Suicide on HBO. Everybody knows that I'm someone who's dealt with raging, swinging emotions. I'm here for you at the end of the day. I have a feeling, Parker, that the reason you don't like me is deep in your heart, you know that we have more similarities than we do differences, and you're not ready to look yourself in the mirror yet. Someday you'll get there and you'll stop blaming me, Parker, the rabbit.
Oh, I wish I could send you a picture of how he's reacting. It looks like he's really taking it to heart.
Good. Good. I want less anger in this world, be it human, rabbit, or any other species of life.
I know, right?
That call got weird.
We need to take what we can get.
Yeah, this got weird.
Weird is good.
I think so, too. So what else? We have about 9 minutes left.
Okay, 9 minutes.
This one flew by.
So what do you have going on today?
What do I have going on today? Well, the Chris Gethard Show is coming back at the time of this recording, less than 2 weeks until our first episode on Truth TV. I'm nervous. The writing process is in full swing. Writing weird ideas, trying to pull it together, trying to put something together that really, you know, uses this opportunity well, because I want to do something different and that has integrity and stands true to what we've built, but there's stress there and there's a little pressure being the captain of the ship, you know?
Yeah.
And I want to squander this opportunity we have. So that's what's going on with me.
Yeah. I can already tell it's going to be great. I saw the little promo on Facebook and...
Nice.
Seems like everyone's really into it.
I hope all the Beautiful and Honest fans set their DVRs for the season pass, and even if they... don't watch it. Even if they don't like it, I hope you at least just let it play. If you're Beautiful and Honest, set your DVR season pass for the Chris Gethard Show. Even if you don't like it, just push play and walk away. Like while you're listening to the podcast, just play episodes so that we get those numbers. That's what I'll ask.
I love it.
What else is going on with me? I saw War for the Planet of the Apes. I loved it. I cried twice. Also cried twice during Spider-Man.
Oh my gosh. I'll put both of those on my list. You cried for both of them.
I'm a very emotional guy. And Spider-Man means
a lot
to me.
That's good.
I grew up very obsessed with comic books. They got me through a lot of tough times. Cried twice during Spider-Man.
Yeah. No, it sounds like a pretty emotional time.
Yeah. So that's what's going on with me, is crying at movies, feeling a lot of pressure professionally, some personal life stuff that we're, me and the, doing good, but, you know, dealing with real life. I'll just leave it at that. Dealing with real life.
Yeah.
But I'm okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes that's all we can do is just deal with real life, and in moments of downtime, go and cry while watching Spider-Man.
Yeah, sometimes what you do is you stay. Here's a thing that I've learned about life is that sometimes what you do is you stay immensely strong in the face of real life, and then you go and see a movie about apes evolving and learning to speak, and you just cry your eyes out, because that way you can say you cried at the movie and not that you broke down at the stress of actual pressure in life.
Right.
Yeah. War for the Planet.
Oh,
no,
I like that.
Two thumbs up. I mean, this is a movie about monkeys fighting man with guns and horses, and I cried. Clearly, I think there was maybe some displaced emotion that night in the movie theater.
Right. No, it's funny you say that. The only thing, like, my fiance does not cry. He's not a crier. But the only thing that really makes him cry is Boy Meets World.
What? What?
Yep.
What are you talking about? What? Boy Meets, that's the most Catholic shit I ever heard. Just repressed emotions, just repressed emotions to the core. And then Topanga says something mildly profound, and there's a river of tears. These people I come from, these Catholic roots I have, these Catholic people, all we do is stuff down emotions, tough it out, be tougher, deal with it, this and that. And then the next thing you know, Corey Savage has you crying your eyes out.
Yep. Exactly. I think it's mostly the parent dynamic they really gets in. It's like when Sean is going through a hard time and Corey's dad steps up and parents him because he doesn't have any parents. That's what gets him.
Look, Boy Meets World, that show, I guess they relaunched it. Is it the relaunch, right? Or does he watch the relaunch, or is this reruns? Is he crying at reruns?
Oh, no, it's reruns. We do not watch the new one, which I think actually got canceled.
Did it? What was it called? Girl Meets World? It was about them growing up.
Yeah, I think so.
So he'll watch your, so your fiance, you're telling me, a strong person, mm-hmm. strong person,
mm-hmm.
emotion, not an emotional person, a logical man.
Right.
Until syndicated reruns of Boy Meets World comes on, at which point anything goes. The floodgates are loose. You're rubbing his back. You're saying,
yep,
it's okay.
Totally.
Mr. Feeney. I know Mr.
Yep,
Feeney.
Mr. Feeney too.
I know Mr. Feeney is a man of morals and kindness and virtue and is an inspiration to us all, but please, can we get past the waterworks? I'm Mr. Feeney.
You know what really got him, like a couple nights ago, is we rewatched How I Met Your Mother, and we watched the very last episode, and I thought to myself, you know what? I bet he's crying right now. And I looked over, and sure enough, there he is, sobbing on the side of the couch, trying to hide it from me.
Oh, I love that. You're dating a Catholic boy, that is for sure. You want to hear something? So here, listen to this one. You'll like this one. So I cried twice during Spider-Man Homecoming. Now, during Captain America Civil War, where they debuted the new Spider-Man, shows up, comes out of nowhere, and he's like a wisecracking teen, and you can, and it's just for the first time on a Spider-Man. And I really liked the prior Spider-Man movies. Tobey Maguire was a little emo. It wasn't totally the Spider-Man I grew up with. So he's a wisecracking teen, and I realized, oh my God, they finally got Spider-Man right in a movie, and I started crying. And my wife in the theater, like, elbowed me and was like, are you crying? I was like, yeah, they got Spider-Man right, and I'm crying. And then after the movie, I say to her, I go, hey, you know, it's like a couple months later, actually. I go, hey, I just want to thank you. You didn't like make fun of me for crying about Spider-Man. That's really nice. And she looks me dead in the eye and she goes, Chris, that's the third time you've cried about Spider-Man since we've been together. I was like, oh my God, is that true? And she goes, yeah. She's like, honestly, at least this one was a movie. The other two times you were explaining, you were like describing issues of Spider-Man comic books to me, and you broke down crying explaining the comic book plots. I much prefer that you cried in an actual movie this time.
A more socially acceptable setting.
Yeah, but I'm telling
you. Sounds like you have a really great wife, though.
Oh, my wife is the best. My wife is the best, just the coolest. She's got my back hard. She's now had two different dreams where people have crossed me, and she's murdered them in the dream, and it feels so good. It's real love. It's true love.
I heard her music on the, but when I was on hold, and it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, Hiccup. Good band. Good band. Cool.
Yeah.
Lady.
Yeah. Got two, talented gal.
2 minutes left.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you for this. This call has been a very good blend of like heartfelt, some serious stuff in there, but also a lot of fun. And I thank you for that. And in case I forget, with 2 minutes left, really sending so much love to your parents and hope that they are doing really well.
Thank you. That's really nice of you to say. And I appreciate that. And it's also nice to talk to like a neutral person about it, you know, talking about the situation with your family or your friends, like when they've been there throughout the whole thing, like, oh my gosh, stop talking about it. We're sorry and we love you, but oh my gosh, find something else to talk about. So it's nice to have a neutral person to talk to about the scenario and kind of bounce it off of someone else.
It's stressful stuff, for real. Stressful stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Your husband's going to listen to this someday, and he's going to be so mad you told me he cries at Boy Meets World.
Actually, I think he'll love it.
Really? Oh, that's good. He's got a good sense of humor then, huh?
Oh, yeah. He's hilarious. I think he'll get a kick out of the Boy Meets World comment, and I think he'll like that you scolded Parker. I think that will be one of the happiest moments of his life.
Catholics are generally a funny people. Do you find when you hang out with his family that they all tell stories that are really funny, but then when you think about the details of the story, they're actually the most grim shit in the world? That's another very Catholic trait.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I just thought that was something that his family did. Mm-mm. I didn't realize it was a Catholic thing.
No, it'll be like, remember that time where our one cousin got too drunk and stabbed a cop? And everybody's like, ah! And then you think about it after everybody splits up and you're like, wait, somebody stabbed a fucking cop. What? There's a lot of that in Catholic families. A lot of stories where you're like, not actually funny. I guess we're laughing to survive.
Yeah, exactly. We're laughing to cope.
Mm-hmm. And hence my career.
Hey, well, you know, you're good at it. So that's what matters.
Thank you. Thank you so much, caller, for calling. Once again, as I said, good luck to you with your parents. I hope everybody stays healthy and happy. Great luck on your wedding. Didn't have time to squeeze that one in. I hope you have a great, great wedding. And again, apologies to your fiance for outing you on the Boy Meets World crying issue. But most of all, thank you for calling. That was really fun. Thank you to Jared O'Connell and Harry Nelson, who were in the booth helping me get through all these things. Thanks to the Reverend John DeLore and Greta Cohn, who built this show in its early days. Thank you, Shell Shag, for the music. You guys are the best. Want to know more about me? ChrisGeth.com. Touring dates are out there. We got a handful of live, beautiful anonymous out there, so check out ChrisGeth.com. Hey, if you like the show, Apple Podcasts, rate, review, subscribe. It really does help, very genuinely. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Smart design, premium fabrics, a simple shopping experience. Mack Weldon has it all, baby. Mack Weldon underwear. It's better than whatever you're wearing. I can tell you that. I'm wearing Mack Weldon right now. I look and feel and seem more confident because it's true. They look great, feel great. All Mack Weldon products are crafted with natural fibers, built-in performance capabilities. Silver underwear and shirts line makes it so they don't smell. Check that out. And it's all shipped right to your door. If you don't like the first pair, keep it. They'll still refund you. No questions asked, but you're going to like it. You can trust me on that. Go to MackWeldon.com. Get 20% off your purchase using the promo code BEAUTIFUL. Next time on Beautiful Anonymous, it's not a ball gag. It's a different type of gag. true love. You're not even looking for it. Next thing you know, you're chomping down on a pink silicone version of a device used to control a horse.
Mine's black. Oh, my God.
The one on the website's pink. The website's pink.
Yeah. I think she has both now. I don't know. You got to do your research. It comes in more than one color, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, I'm just going with the one I saw the visual representation of. I think the joke still stands. Hey, I'm going to blow your mind. I'm going to blow your mind. We got like 3 minutes left.
Shit. Oh, sorry.
That's okay. You've said far worse things than the word shit. That's next time on Beautiful Anonymous.
Hello, I'm Alexander Graham Bell. I stole the idea for the telephone. Hey, people steal ideas all the time, everywhere, even in the worlds of music and comedy. Stolen Idea is a punk rock musical set in these two worlds where theft can make or break a career. They're written by Matt Besser and Bobby Matthews. Produced by Brett Morris. Starring Matt Besser, Bobby Matthews, Virginia Matthews, John Gimberling, Mike Cassidy, Paul Rust, Scott Aukerman, Harris Whittles, Mike Still, Danielle Snyder, and James Adomian. Stolen Idea is only available on Stitcher Premium. Go to stitcherpremium.com/stolen.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.